All right, I am back along with Andy Pate, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us, and we're trying to get our next guest lined up, but Charlie's shaking his head at me. Well, Charlie, let me make sure that we have the right number.
Incorrect number. You see, I like to just call people randomly throughout the city, and whoever wants to be a guest, bring them on. You don't like
right.
that plan?
No, Charlie, I just texted you what I have, and then if that's not right, I'll go back through my emails and see if it, in fact, is correct.
And we're trying to reach David Bradford
yep.
on how to connect and building exceptional relationships.
And sometimes things – oh, okay, well, somebody must have given us the – let me make sure this is the right one, Charlie. I'm going to send it – yeah, that's the one that I was given. So, okay, well, it is what it is, Charlie.
Somebody, oh, no.
Sometimes somebody can give you a typo, you know, a number, you know, digit off, whatever typo, and that happens. So anyways.
Yeah, because I've got two numbers there, 2044 and 2944. Did you try them both, Charlie?
Yes. Well, I believe he did.
Try 2020.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
Because we need to reach him, because the last thing anybody wants is you and I giving people relationship advice.
We'll just move on. We're not doing that anyways.
Everybody would be shattered.
Anyways, and Charlie, try that. I've only got the one number here, but we'll try it and see what happens. And if that doesn't work, we'll figure it out. Not a problem.
All right.
Let's talk for a moment, though. You know, I had a good hour with Jordan Goodman. A lot of stuff in there. We didn't even get to all the topics we had with Jordan. Oh, okay, here we go.
Hey, it worked.
So it's going to work here. So here we go. Good. Good job, Andy.
I do one right thing a year.
Nice. Good job. One right thing a year.
And you were there for it, man. You got to see it
good,
happen.
Good job.
In real time.
Okay. All right, so we'll do this. We'll just go right to our guest. So thank you. Thank you, Andy. David Bradford joining us now. David, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
We're doing very well. So thank you for joining us. We're glad to get a hold of you, because Andy and I are not going to give relationship advice without somebody like you being on board. It's not our forte.
No, I mean, a lot of lawsuits would start
pouring
in.
Yeah, just not going to fly. Let's
just
say
not ready
that.
For that, David.
I'm going to have to get a disclaimer statement before we start if this is going to happen.
Yeah, there we go. So talk to us. Okay, the book is Connect, Building Exceptional Relationships with Family, Friends, and Colleagues. And, you know, let's face it, this last year, you know, has been a challenge in a lot of different ways. You know, folks working from home, people not being able to see family like they once did. You know, a lot of relationships being strained for whatever reason, on top of some of those, you know, even distance things that we've got going on. David, I guess just where do we start? How do we get this process back on track?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's been a very, very stressful time with all sorts of ways. Obviously, it's going to vary with the situation, but I think that we need to say, we're not getting back to what we used to be before. This is a chance, in a certain sense, to reset and to have people say, what have I missed? What do I want this to be? And what can we do now to move forward? And I think that way, looking forward, rather than saying, can we recapture the past, gives us an opportunity. So this could be, this is a problem, but it's also an opportunity.
Hey, David, do you think it's also an opportunity in coming back into the workplace, because you can start fresh? I mean, a lot of people, I think, have workplace problems. This person they don't get along with, that department that they don't get along with. And maybe now, if they get it right, they can come back in, start fresh, and build a whole new relationship, maybe learn from what they've done wrong.
I think absolutely right, if they're open to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that often that when we're at home, we sort of reflect what's going wrong, what we want better. I think we can do that. I think what's important is that we don't get into the blame game, and we don't say, well, it's because of you that you've been so difficult. And rather than saying, let's not worry about the past, let's talk about the future that we want.
You know, Andy and I, after we're done talking to you, David, are going to talk about businesses and similar situation, you know, businesses that are now coming back online and really getting things, you know, going in really a new direction. To your point, I think businesses need to be looking at this in the same way. And frankly, if they were smart, they would get your book and read it, because businesses rely on, in all cases, by the way, if you really, truly in business, and you're not just a transactional business like the local gas station. Businesses rely on relationships. So really what you're talking about in your book applies to them as well.
Absolutely, very much so. You know, we do business with people, and it's becoming even more so as work becomes more ambiguous, diffuse, takes initiative. We need to be able to influence each other and be open to influence. And it isn't the old game of just giving orders and getting orders.
I agree.
Hey, David, what would you say are some of the cornerstones of building a good, sound relationship, first of all with family, and then with friends and colleagues? Now, I know I like to blame my way to success, so I blame everybody in sight. No, I don't. But what would you say are some things to really, because when people look at a relationship, it's so big and complex. What are the simple things I can start with to get on the right track?
Well, I think the simple things is to get in touch with what each of us wants. And to realize that what I want may be different than what you want. And then to open up to say, can we have an open conversation where each of us hear what the other wants and see if we can work out a way to a high degree, have both of us meet our needs. So I think we have to start with ourselves. I think the second thing I would say is interpersonal problems always have an interpersonal component. You know, I like to blame my wife. But then if I stop and look at it, I'm bringing more than half to the party in terms of difficulty.
Yeah.
And I think that if we could take that orientation, say, hey, am I doing something? And being open to hear that, we could go a long way.
And again, everything you just said is not only spot on in relationships, but it's sort of the fundamental rule of how we do business. If I can, as a business owner, meet your need, David, as my customer, and find out what your needs really are and listen to what those needs are and then accommodate you accordingly, I'll have you as a customer for life.
That's right. That's right. And we often don't listen. We give you what I want to give you, not what you want.
Right. Right.
Yeah, how do we break that habit, David? Because I think so many times when we get into conversations, be it with coworkers, customers, family members, we're planning our response. We're not really listening and hearing from their point of view what they want us to hear. How do we break that?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. Partially, the trap is we think we ought to have answers. I mean, leaders have answers. Well, leaders don't have answers. If they haven't, they're probably wrong. But we only know part of the problem. If we could have a little humility and say, I need that other person's expertise.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing is, not only listening well, but listening between the lines. The other person may not be fully sharing all their concerns.
Good
and
point.
And we jump to a conclusion.
Good point.
And we say, can we get into inquiry? Can we say, hey, well, what else is going on? And mm-hmm. and what's behind that? And are there other issues? Can we be curious? We often aren't very curious. Yeah.
And by the way, what you just said about good leaders is really, yes, I know there are times where leaders need to have answers, but really, David, you know this as well as I, and so does Andy. Good leaders, they get to be a good leader by, to your point a moment ago, asking the right questions.
Yes, and I always say the job of leadership is not to have the answer, but to make sure the answer is found.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're hiring competent people, you may be better than any one of them, but are you really better than all of them collectively?
No.
And isn't your job really to release their potential,
yes.
not to tell them what to do?
Yep, you're spot on. That's exactly right.
Hey, David, I've always heard that a couple things that are really helpful are, number one, help other people succeed.
Mm-hmm.
If you can help them find some small success, then they'll want to build on it and they'll be more excited. And number two, make a promise and keep it, whatever it is. Build up trust. Make little
yep.
promises and build up trust. Are these just corny little things, or do they really help build a relationship and help oil the cogs, as it were, at a business?
No, I think both of those are true. Let me start with the second, and I'll move to the first.
Okay.
We can't always come through on what we promise, but when we can't, can we own it and apologize and not try to cover ourselves?
Good point.
Good.
Yeah.
It's always so transparent. We think we can fool other people, and we can't. But I think the first one is another way to look at work. It's work is a series of exchanges. And if we went around saying, how can I help that other person? How could my area help their area? What I'm doing is I'm building up a line of credit. For one thing, I'm seen as useful and trustworthy, but also I've got a line of credit that when I'm in need, I can go and I can say, hey, Andy, you know, I'm in some need now, and I was really glad to help you last month, but can you help me now? And it's that reciprocal back and forth that really makes for success.
Can't add anything to that. Explain, if you
would.
And
that's so rare, by the way, because when you're, really quick, when you're in the workplace, it's so rare that you feel that others are excited for your success at all, that when they are, you're going to want to come through for them.
Well, and that leads my next question. Andy's, you know, really kind of, you know, taking me where I want to go here, David, and that is the difference between IQ and EQ, which, by the way, we don't talk much about. Everybody knows what IQ is. You know, that's your, you know, your intelligence level and where people fall on a particular scale. But what folks, I think, you know, forget a lot, David, is that really the successful individuals in life are those that might not be the smartest in the room, intelligently speaking, but they're the smartest when it comes to the emotional side, right?
Absolutely, and that's what research shows. Emotional intelligence is much more predictive of leadership. And emotional intelligence are people who are in touch with their feelings, use it appropriately, are curious about other people and want to know their world. Also, in essence, are able to make sure that 1 and 1 equals 3, that we get more out of this than what either of us put in. And as I say, if we walk around saying, I've got the answer to everything, I don't want to follow you. I want to follow you if you're going to say, I'm going to bring out the best in everybody.
I, by the way, fully agree. Again, folks, the book is Connect, Building Exceptional Relationships with Family, Friends, and Colleagues. It's on Amazon, of course, and other great places where you buy books as well. David Bradford is our guest right now. And you wrote that along with somebody else. Do you want to mention that real quick, David?
Yeah, Carol Robin. This is based on a course we teach at the Graduate School of Business at Stanford, and Carol taught it with me for 17 years. And she's now running programs for Silicon Valley executives. And they're also realizing that, yep, technical competence is important, but it's these interpersonal skills that's going to make or break.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one last question.
Go
Can
for
I
it.
Get it in here?
Go for it.
You know, you say connect, building exceptional relationships, David. If we aim at nothing, we're bound to hit it. Define an exceptional relationship, either at home or in the workplace.
Yeah, it's got 6 characteristics, so I'll keep this brief. One is, can I be myself and not put on an image and spin sort of a picture that's false? Can I build conditions where you can be yourself? And if we do that, it builds trust. And the third thing is, can I trust that you won't use this information against me if I disclose, if I'm somewhat vulnerable and open with you? Fourth, can we be honest with each other? Fifth, can we use conflict productively? I mean, conflict is not a sign of failure. It's a sign that something needs to be worked on. And it's a sign that maybe we can improve it even better. And finally, are we each committed to each other's success? Now, relationships are on a continuum. Not everything can or should be exceptional. But when you're high in all of those, you have a very special relationship. And even if you aren't all on the top in all of those, you can still have a strong, robust, high-trust relationship.
I wrote all these down, by the way. Typed them in really quickly. We'll put these up, folks, on our website as well tonight, so you kind of get a little recap of what we did here with David. So, David Bradford, again, sir, thank you very much for joining us. This is awesome. You speak, as you can tell, our language. And for folks listening, this is so key, whether you're talking about it in your relationship with, you know, your significant other, with it be your kids, your boss, a distant cousin. I mean, really, David, this applies to everything in life. And if we learn this, I can tell you right now, folks, if you learn this, you'll be successful at whatever you do, period. It doesn't matter what your intellect is.
Well, thank you. This has been fun. Good luck.
I appreciate it very much, David. Thank you so much. And what I just said, I mean, there have been, and David will attest this, you will too, Andy, study after study after study after study has have learned that you can be the smartest guy in the room, PhD, the MBA, you got everything dialed in your way. You have been educated to the max. You know literally everything there is to know book-wise. But if you don't get this handled, you ain't going to make it.
No. You're not going to have good relationships at all. And by the way, you're not going to be a good leader because no one's going to want to follow you.
And you'll have a crappy company if you're the leader of it.
Yeah.
In fact, you might have one that doesn't even make it.
Yeah. You're not a good leader by informing people of your great knowledge. You're a great leader by inspiring them to want to follow.
Well said. All right, we'll come right back. Franktown Firearms is up next, folks, and they would love to help you. Whether you're buying your first firearm, or I said the other day, maybe it's your 100th, it doesn't make any difference. They're there to help you out regardless. And don't forget, they've got all the training necessary to get you where you need to go as well, especially for those of you that are first-time gun owners. Find them at klzradio.com, 720-770-7777.
Preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Everyone at Franktown Firearms has the same goal, to fire off some freedom seeds safely and confidently. That common goal builds relationships based on shared values and mutual respect, which makes Franktown Firearms one of the few places you can preserve your liberty, protect your family, and have fun at the same time. Because they maintain good relationships with suppliers, treat customers with respect, and offer lower tax rates, Franktown Firearms continues to sell guns and ammo at or below MSRP. But they don't only want you to buy a gun. They want to see you develop confidence through practice. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/franktown for $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members, first responders, and military veterans receive discounts in the shop, as well as discounts on all classes. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Managers control their employees. Leaders empower them. John Rush will teach you how to run your business as a leader, not manager, so you have the freedom to do what you love. You went into business for yourself because you wanted freedom, but right now your business couldn't last one day without your involvement. Learn how to stop micromanaging and give your employees more responsibility so you can step back and enjoy yourself. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
Are poor people subsidizing electric vehicles for rich people? Kim Munson here. Wednesday, auto expert and car coach Lorne Fix explains the real facts about electric cars. Are they pulling their weight in helping maintain and build the roads and bridges they drive on? What happens when they need a new battery? Friend, patriot, and show sponsor Helen Jean Mitchell will be in studio to co-host the show. Mortgage specialist Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group updates us regarding mortgage interest rates. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m. right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Water's Edge Winery. Warm atmosphere, wonderful wine, and delectable dishes to enjoy with friends and family. An evening out? A gift for that special someone? Water's Edge is the place for you. More info at kimmunson.com.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush together with Andy Payton. And John, I've got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we're going to be talking a lot about businesses, especially here in Colorado, avoiding being in that 35% who could go under.
Right.
Well, one big thing is that they've gone through an incredible amount of conflict over the last year. And as David Bradford said, can we use conflict productively? And I guess my question for you is this. How can these businesses that have just been in terrifying shape view some of what they've faced as an opportunity to learn and grow rather than just a brick wall?
And the study that Andy's talking about, by the way, is coming out of Alignable, and I appreciate those guys sending me all of this data. We'll go through some of that in this next segment after this with myself and Andy. And you know, to answer your question, Andy, I think if they're good businesses, and this is my fear, we'll talk about this in the next segment, of
all
course,
right.
But if they're a good business, every time some adversity comes along, you have to look at it and say, okay, A, what did we learn? B, what can we change? C, what do we do to make sure this never happens again? And if they were looking at all of those things correctly, saying, okay, what do we do now moving forward to make sure that we come out of this, you know, and we move forward as winners rather than losers? And I said this yesterday, and I really mean it. If they rather than that come out and just do the same things they were doing pre-COVID, they're dead.
Right.
They'll die.
Well, yeah. And also, John, you got to keep in mind, you're not the only business selling this widget,
right,
whatever this product or service is, right?
There are very few of those companies in the world.
Right. Okay. So think about it. You've got this product or service that you're providing. So do 10 other competitors in the area. If you're the one who treats this as an opportunity while they're treating it as a brick wall,
right,
and coming back and basically just strapping down and trying to, you know, streamline, mm-hmm, everything. You know what I mean? They're,
yes,
not aggressive.
Yes.
They're not going for the new market. aren't you going to kill him?
Yes. And by the way, that company that Andy just mentioned a moment ago that's only making the single widget, they weren't affected by COVID anyways because everything they sold was still in high demand, whether COVID was going on or not. So they're out of the equation, period, because they weren't affected whatsoever anyway. So
Okay. Everybody
else that's going to be on this alignable list of the quote-unquote 35% of businesses that risk financial failure are the type Andy's talking about, where Andy's being conservative, by the way. He just said there's 10 of their businesses. There's likely 100 other businesses
right.
in a 5 to 10 mile radius around you that are vying for that exact same customer that wants to buy your particular product.
Okay, and one last thing before we go to break, then we'll come back and talk about those businesses. His last thing, David Bradford's last thing was, are we committed to each other's success? And my question is this, how do you break free from, let's face it, the selfishness we all have to actually be able to applaud other people's success, commit to that? Because let's face it, John, all of us right from birth, as babies, right from the start, we grow up the entire time wanting attention for us, wanting others to value me, give attention to me, celebrate me and my achievements. And I become a person who basically does everything I do in life to get more of that. And now when I get in the business world, if I commit to other people's success, I'm actually going to be a lot more successful. How do I break from the habit and be able to focus on them?
Well, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Charlie, you can answer this as well, too. And I will also. When's the last time any one of the three of us went into any type of a clothing store or a shoe store, for example, and either bought a pair of shoes or a really nice shirt and had a sales associate say something to the effect of, Andy, I really appreciate what you just did and what you bought from us. I not only appreciate relying on us to meet your clothing needs, but what I really would like to do, Andy, is that's a really great shirt you just bought from us, by the way. I tell you what, I'd love to see that on you next time you show up here. When's the last time you ever heard somebody actually sell you something in that regard?
I hope to see that on you next time you show up here.
Yes. When have you ever heard that? Charlie said never. When have you ever heard it, Andy?
Never.
Never. And you know why? Because they really don't care about your success as a customer. They just want to sell you the shirt. I, on the other hand, if I was selling you that shirt, want to see you successful in that shirt to make sure that you come back and buy more shirts. Because, by the way, the better you look, the better you feel, and the more successful you become as a person. And that's a fact, by the way.
Yeah, and by the way, you will have some customers who do come back in that shirt, and they'll even remind you, hey, you said you wanted to see me in this shirt.
And you know what my answer better be? You know what? You're right. I did, and you look dynamite. Now, what else can I interest you in?
Yeah, looks killer. And by the way, right there, you're almost forming a relationship.
Oh, thank you, Andy. That's the whole idea of being in business, isn't it?
It doesn't
hurt.
Back to
the book, right?
It doesn't hurt. Yeah.
But you get where I'm going with this, and we'll talk about this when we come back. And by the way, we're going to give you, somebody said yesterday, man, John, you're giving a lot of free coaching advice yesterday. Yeah, I did, actually. And I'll give you some more today.
Sounds good.
Because really, this isn't rocket science, folks. It really isn't. And yet, some of the things Andy and I are going to come back and talk about, I challenge most of you listening. I guarantee you, most of you have never, if at all, rarely heard some of the things we're going to mention when we come back as to what businesses should be doing coming out of COVID.
No.
Which, by the way, they should have been doing prior.
No, and by the way, I mean, the reason I enjoy a lot of this also, as you know, I taught a lot of sales in businesses and taught people how to sell. And if you do not value the customer as a person, if you don't target it that way, and you go through something like COVID, you're going to fall apart.
Yeah, so this alignable study, by the way, to Andy's point, to make what you just said come
right.
to life, this study says 35% of small businesses risk financial failure this summer. And real quick, here's how it breaks down. We'll come back and talk about this in a minute. So the summer of 21, one-third or more of small businesses in key sectors are at risk. And here's how it breaks down. Entertainers and artists, 42%. Real quick, by the way, the majority of them, even though they're in the relationship business, don't realize they are. Because they think they're better than everyone else, most entertainers and artists do.
Oh, yeah. They're totally self-involved.
Retailers, 40%. Restaurants, 39%. And by the way, retailers and restaurants, they are very much in the relationship business. The national average, by the way, will be 35% construction, though. Believe it or not, there's going to be some potential failures there, 33%, according to this study. And health and wellness, another 33%. So these are industries, by the way, those last two, where you wouldn't think they'd have any issues whatsoever, but according to the study, some will fail.
That makes sense to me.
right, we'll come back and talk about that.
All right.
So this is good stuff, folks. If you've got any questions or comments you want to add, feel free to call in as well, 303-477-5600. But Affordable Interest Mortgage is next, folks. And at Kurt's Place, Affordable Interest Mortgage, you talk about relationships. Man, I have been doing business now with Kurt for the past 6+ years, and he is the only one I will go to now when it comes to a mortgage. Why? Because he knows me. He knows what I do. He knows my self-employment situation, which, by the way, changes things, you know, changes things a lot for me versus even somebody like Andy, because I don't get a regular old W-2. I have to do things completely different when it comes to applying for these sorts of things, and Kurt knows that. And that's the relationship, back to what Andy and I were talking about a moment ago, that you'll get with Kurt, you won't get someplace else. You're not just a number at Affordable Interest Mortgage. You are a person. There is a relationship there. Establish that today with Kurt and his team. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
A good shop, folks, is next. I want to make sure that your vehicle, if you've been in an accident, is back up to speed. And they can do that and get it back to original equipment specifications. There's three locations to serve you. And they've got a free mobile estimating app to find out, you know, so you can find out exactly how much damage was done if involved in an accident. And by the way, they'll just take care of the old vehicle, fix it up, make it new again as well. 720-541-7697 or find them again at klzradio.com.
A good shop fights on your behalf to make sure you get the most out of your insurance claim. Chances are, your insurance adjuster has never fixed a car before. Your adjuster may not realize that your vehicle has hidden or secondary damage as a result of your collision. So your insurance claim may not cover those repairs, unless your auto body shop advocates for you. Al Sturm has a long history of working with insurance companies, both as a customer service representative helping people with their claims over the phone and as a collision repair specialist, communicating between his own customers and their adjusters. Al and his team at A Good Shop will advocate for you behind the scenes, fighting on your behalf to make sure your claim covers everything. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, and Charlie, and we're going to now go through some of these things that we feel, and I think, by the way, that not that Andy and I know everything, but, you know, we've had our share of things business-wise where I just look at things right now, and I look at some of these businesses that are coming out of COVID that, frankly, and I talked about this yesterday, I went to the mall Saturday night, some of these businesses that are coming out of COVID doing the exact same thing they did prior to COVID.
They're done.
Are not going to make it.
No, they're not. Hey, can I give an example of an industry that's missing? And I'm going to use a biblical example.
Okay.
Jesus sitting down and eating with sinners and the tax collectors. Okay. And for those who don't know, in that culture, this was incredibly important. When you sat down and ate with somebody, you were basically telling them, I'm always going to be there for you. I will always be there for you. It was a real statement to someone to sit down and eat with them.
Meals were a big deal.
They were a big deal.
Even more so than we have today.
Even more so than they are today. However, one thing that's the same is meals are a very personal thing. When you sit down, you have lunch with somebody, even a business lunch or whatever. When you're eating, you're at your most relaxed. You're at your most, you know, personal and conversational and so forth. That is why restaurants that make that experience more personal, more touching, more endearing have great, you know, great reactions. And so you really want to hire that waiter, or if you have a waiter or waitress who knows how to connect with your customers rather than just fling the food, they're a gold mine. You keep that person, you pay them more, you keep them on your staff, because if they're remembering this person, remembering their order, hey, you want that big, you know, you want that double burger again, you know, and so forth, they are going to make you an incredible amount of money. You can't treat restaurants and food like just any kind of product that you're tossing at people. And another one that would be that way is the automotive world. People love their cars, love their car with them. Things like that.
No, make, exactly right.
Make the sales make the sales interaction more personal, more relational.
Yeah, you have to value not only them as a customer, but what they're also valuing. You have to. And Andy, I'll be the first to admit that over the years, you know, doing all the things I did in the automotive world, and you know, we did, you know, a lot of things that were unique that not everybody else did. You know, we did full service repair, maintenance, all that kind of stuff, you know, and did that for, you know, 30 some years. But on top of that, also did, you know, full bore performance upgrades, lift kits, tires, wheels, you know, all of the fix up stuff you see on trucks, which granted, a lot of the folks coming in want that. It's not a need. It's definitely a want. But I will tell you that did we do every single truck and every single build exactly the way I would have done it?
No.
Of course not, because every customer is a little different and has some really unique things. And I will tell you that there were times where, you know, you just had to understand what the customer wanted in the vehicle, knowing that, no, it's not the way I would build it, but we're still going to value them. We're still going to trust them. We're still going to enjoy this build with that particular customer at the end, celebrate with them, even though it may not have been exactly the way I would have done it.
Because this is their baby, not your baby.
And I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So there was this one time, and by the way, and I love this customer. We had a great relationship. The guy was fabulous. It was awesome. We did some really great things with it. It was not the way I would have built any vehicle I would have ever owned or even own today. And that was a maroon Suburban that back in the day was absolutely beautiful. And to him, he made it more beautiful by taking every single thing that was on this Suburban after lifting it and putting tires on it and larger wheels and so on. But everything on it was accented in gold. I mean, not gold like gold paint, but literally we had like gold plating done on this thing over the place. I mean, it was a fortune when it was all said and done. Now, is that my particular style and do I like gold accents? No, it's not my style. It's not what I enjoy. But at the end of the day, did we have to, you know, value that and celebrate that vehicle when it was all said and done? And in a way, you know, just get into it, whether that was something we liked or not, just because of the customer and the fact that we valued him as a customer. The answer is yes.
Yes.
We did.
Absolutely.
And we did all of that, by the way.
Can I give you one example from the restaurants?
Yes.
Staffing. All right. In that, I like to run lean and mean. I like to be incredibly efficient when I do staff schedules. I did that both in casinos and in the theaters. I was always able to cut our staffing levels by about 20% right off the start. I was. But I didn't cut too much. And here's the reason. This is a very personal experience for them. Okay. If I have, say, instead of four waiters and where you can run lean and mean, if I instead have six for this rush period and I instruct all my people, I want you to connect with them. I want you to laugh, you know, to make a face at that baby and connect with them and do this. That is actually going to bring me back far more revenue than the savings I would get from, you see what I mean?
Yes.
And here's what I'm saying. You're going to have a lot of people coming out of COVID right now, and they're going to be terrified, and they're going to be going on minimal staff. Of course, there's a problem even getting staff right now.
That, by the way, that's in the list of things that they're struggling with.
Exactly.
Right.
But once they can get the staff, they're going to be very tempted to go lean, mean, lean, mean, lean, mean, lean, mean. And I'm telling you, they're going to be driving away their customers because their customers are finally getting out of their houses. They've been cooped up. They've had cabin fever, and they want this to be a beautiful experience, not one where they're shuffled through. What am I hitting it?
You're correct, Andy. You're fully correct. And the other thing that I would, by the way, advise every, if they were my client on right now, no matter what their feelings on COVID is, throw the dang mask away.
Oh, yes.
Now, you may have some employees that are immune compromised and what have you, and in that
sure.
particular case, you're going to have to make some exceptions and make that work. But please, get rid of the policy that says you're going to wear masks, because frankly, the general public doesn't care now.
Do not have a sign that says, if you are vaccinated,
no,
you
get rid
can
of all
be.
That. Take it all down.
Yeah, because immediately they're thinking, what, are you going to ask me?
Take it all down.
Even if you're not going to.
No matter what your policies are on that, take it all down.
All down.
Get rid of it.
They want what they had before. Only you're going to make it even more, you're going to make it even better because you are welcoming them back to the house.
There's been so much negativity, by the way, through COVID. And this is another lesson that most businesses, if they don't know by now, should know. And that is you should have no negative signage either entering your facility or when you get inside the facility. What I mean by that, we've all seen and been in businesses where it says something along the lines of no checks, cash only. That's a negative sign, by the way. What the signs should say instead is, we gladly accept credit cards and we will always take cash.
Right, exactly.
You don't say no checks.
You say the positive.
Correct. Now, through COVID, how many negatives have we seen?
A million.
Thank you.
Signs
all of them
everywhere.
Almost. Every one
do
of
this,
them.
Do this, do that.
Stand here, do this, do that. Don't pick your nose here.
I state mean, restrictions.
Give me a break. It's
right.
been so negative that as a business, guys, again, you have to change that tide and get rid of that crap.
And let me go a step further. You're talking about signage, and you're totally right. What about people? I'm going to say this right now, and it's going to sound totally counterintuitive because people are dying to get employees. Folks, if you have an employee who's a natural Karen and they like telling people what they can't do and hovering,
you better change them.
Fire them.
Yeah.
If they won't change, get rid of them.
That's right.
I'm serious.
That's right.
This is at-will employment in Colorado. Use it. Get rid of them and get somebody who is a yes person, not a no person.
That's right.
Just by their general nature.
Again, folks, you have to change. If you're a business owner, you've got to change the way you've been doing things pre-COVID or you're going to go broke. Joe, in Jersey, I believe it is. What's going on, sir?
Hey, guys. Either one of you ever heard of a guy named Peter Drucker?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
You know, probably the most famous management author ever lived. He's been dead for probably 25 years. He had an interesting take on the purpose. He used to ask his students, what's the purpose of business? They'd say, make money, make a profit. He said, no. The purpose of business is to create and retain customers.
Right.
But and everything you guys are talking about either falls into how do I create a customer or how do I retain the customer. And it's interesting when you look at business from that perspective. You know, you can look at it, you know, all different ways, but mm-hmm. it's really interesting. I always say to people, you know, that I coach and mentor, what do we have to do to create a customer? Is it innovation? Is it marketing? Is it advertising? Is it customer service? And of course, Andy and John, what you're saying goes to the retention part too. Once I got them through my door, what am I doing to make it an experience that they're going to want to come back, which is retention, and tell their friends, which
right.
is customer creation.
Yeah, and by the way, for every business owner listening, it's much, 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 much cheaper to keep a customer you already have than gain a new one.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Always.
It's actually, and that's been statistically drawn, it's 5 to 10 times cheaper in terms of marketing to keep them than to get them back.
Right.
Go
and
ahead, Joe.
Keep them delighted. They're going to become word-of-mouth advertising. And by the way, I did a benchmarking visit up to GE Medical Systems Waukesha, I think it is.
I think that's right,
you know,
they make
the MRI machines, the CAT scan
mm-hmm.
machines.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting thing, you know, we were in exchanging, because I was running service for Carrier's national network, and they had their own factory service for them. And the guy said to me, you guys measure customer satisfaction? I said, absolutely. He said, what scale do you use? 1 to 10? I said, yeah, 1 to 10. He said, I bet I know I can tell you what your score is. And I said, what? He said, oh, it's going to be somewhere between 8.5 and 9.5. And I said, well, yeah, but how did you know that? He said, it couldn't possibly be anything different. I said, what do you mean? He said, look, let's pretend you start with 100 customers, and for 90 of them you do a great job, and they give you 8s, 9s, and 10s, and for 10 of them you do a lousy job, and they give you 2s and 3s. Well, guess what? Next time you come back to do your survey, those 10 that you screwed up on, they will opt out of the – they won't be your customers. Yeah. And they'll change the survey results. They'll self-exclude from your survey.
That's right.
And it goes on and on and on. It says, you'll be down to your last 10 customers.
Still have great CSI.
Yeah, still getting, you know, still getting between 8.5. I said, well, great. Well, how do you do it? He said, we realized the fallacy of that. He said, so we went to a 1 to 5 with, three being, sat a 5 being delighted. He said, but what we did internally is we said, we're only going to count the 5s. Anything less than 5 is delighted. We were delighted with your service. Mm-hmm. And if we're not delighted, we view it as a miss. And he said, by the way, the other thing about the 1 to 10, for the same reason it won't go down, it'll never go up, which is really demoralizing to your organization when they start jumping through hoops and doing, going the extra mile, and it won't improve. He said, so we started doing, we only count the 5s, which is our goal as an organization is to delight our customers. And the first month we went out, it was a little wake-up call. Only 28% of our customers were delighted with our service. So we focused on what would we have to do. We went back and said, we got a 4.
Right.
What would we have to do different to earn the 5?
Right.
And we began to identify those things. And the amazing thing was, as we identified those things and began to work on those customer service things, he said the 28% began to grow markedly and dramatically. People could see the difference that their efforts were making, that 28% become 38%, become 55%, become 75%. And he said, as an organization, the message was, we're not here to satisfy customers. We're here to delight our customers. It was a cultural revolution within that organization. So,
great story.
So I would urge you guys to think about, to tell your team, we're not here to satisfy customers. We're here to delight our customers.
Joe, as always, I appreciate it. Very good and very well said. Javier is up next. He's got some questions for us on small business, as he is an owner himself. Javier, welcome. How are you?
Oh, great. How are you today?
I'm good, sir. Thanks for calling us.
Yes. My wife and I have a small business. We've owned for 20 years, and we have 2 employees who we asked to start coming back to the office, and they quit. They say, well, last year we were able to do all this from home. We got all of our work done. We don't see why you need to lord over us every day. And I'm worried that we're going to be running into this more and more, and I want to know if you have any suggestions.
And by the way, Javier, you probably will run into this more and more. The key for you is going to be finding, I guess first question I would ask you is, did in fact they get all of their work done from home like they claimed they did?
Well, yes, I believe so. But, there's certain things you miss, like, small things throughout the day that you can learn from other people.
Yes,
I
agree with you. And by the way, you are spot on correct, and I believe that's why a lot of these folks that are wanting to work from home today will have to go back into the office because of what you just said. And I think, Javier, the other thing that's going to happen is while immediately these individuals might find employment someplace else where they can stay and work from home, I don't think that's going to be long-lived, by the way, Javier. So I think they're living a pipe dream thinking that they're going to be able to do this someplace else. Now, that doesn't necessarily help you out today because you still need workers. So if it were me, I would really, focus on and I don't know your industry, so I don't know how to help you as far as where do you find your workers, but I would go to where your normal places would be, or in some cases, abnormal places to be, to find some of the folks that you might need to come to work. And what I mean by that is, and I tell my automotive folks this as well, for example, in the automotive world, service advisors, which are the people you see at the front desk that actually write up your vehicle, they take your complaint, they talk to the technician, and they handle that whole transaction. I have told people for years, and I still believe this, you don't have to know anything about a car to do that job. So you don't need to look inside the industry to go find a service advisor in an automotive shop. You, Javier, would have to ask yourself the same things. Where do you find those people at, and are they going to be from the traditional sources or outside of those?
Gotcha. So if I should stick to my guns, not give in to them?
I mean, I think I would go back to what we talked about earlier with our, with our author talking about the relationship side of things, and really say, while I understand that you like being at home and doing the things that you've done, and you have, and you claim, and yes, in a lot of cases, you did get all of the work done. You just explained to me, Javier, why you would want them in the office. And maybe there's a way where you have them in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and maybe they work from home Monday, Friday. And I don't know your situation, whether that's doable or not. That's something you would have to sit down and chat with them about.
Well, that's very good advice.
And again, hey, maybe there's a hybrid you can put together for now.
And Javier, can I ask you a question here? How good do you consider these two employees, just personally?
Question.
I mean, scale of 1 to 10, are they ones? Are they great? Are they incredible employees at 10? Or are they somewhere in the middle?
Oh, they were with me for 10 years. That's why it scared me so bad.
You don't want to lose them because they're really valuable. Well, here's one thing to keep in mind, okay? There are two kinds of customers, internal customers, external customers. Your external ones are the ones who come and pay money to you to come in. The internal are the people inside your business. You are customers to each other. Mm-hmm. You're serving each other, okay? And so those two employees, you are their internal customer and they are your internal customer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you can look at this as an opportunity to sit down and talk with them and say, hey, how can I serve you? And how can you serve my needs? Because it would really help me. I want to see you some. I want to touch base with you and
great,
you know, be involved. But I also want to help you out. Maybe you've set up an office at home and you want to take advantage of that too and hammer out a deal there. And maybe you'll put together something even better.
One other thing, too.
In the middle, they were telling me, oh, we get it done. We don't need you to stare at me all day and lord over me. And
okay, but if I may, really quick, at that point, they're using language like they don't value you as their customer. Okay?
Correct.
You're staring at me. You're lording over. Well, no, wait a minute. I'm your employer.
Right.
I'm valuable as your customer, but you're still valuable to me. You need something where you value each other. Because I got to say, Javier, going forward, if they continue to see you in that way, they're not going to be the kind of employees that you want.
They're not team players anyways.
They're not going to be the kind of employees you want handling your external customers.
My son, by the way, Javier, just texted me, and he had some great advice as well. Remind them that you are a family as well. You're a small business, which is a family, and you value the relationships that they bring while at your place of business and the relationships that you build, back to what Andy said a moment ago. Now, I will also say this, Javier. I'm also a lot smarter than they are. That's why I've got to where I am today. And if that means that I have to keep them around and even be sort of a go-between and try to figure out, okay, how do I keep them momentarily so that I can keep business running and rolling while at the same time on the other side, you know, so I got one arm that's making sure that they're going to keep doing their job momentarily so I can keep business coming in the door. But hey, if I don't think they're going to make it and they're not going to come back to the office ever, I'm figuring out a way to replace them on the other side as well. And they may not know that. Now, that may sound to a lot of you listening like I'm being deceptive. I'm not. I have a business to run. Does that make sense, Javier?
It makes me feel so much better, yes. I was so scared that I was going to just lose them like dominoes.
No, I don't think at this point, if you're still talking and having conversation, there's a way to work through this. Now, again, I am one, though, that says you're still the boss, you're still the owner, you still set direction on where you're going to go as a business, and if you guys can't come to an agreement how this is going to work, you may have to give in a little bit right now until you can find the replacements, and if so, it is what it is.
So we're in uncharted waters, gentlemen.
We are.
Oh, yes.
We very much are, Javier.
Goodness.
And by the way, if you need anything,
you.
Javier, email me. I'm always here to help you on that stuff. Just send me an email and I'll help you as I can.
Bless you.
Thank you, Javier. Appreciate it very much. Guys, we'll take a quick break. I know we're behind. Charlie, we're going to have to do some different things spot-wise here because we ran out of time. But Gino's Auto Service is next, folks. And by the way, they do value you as a customer. That I can vouch for. Gino's Auto Service, 303-794-6700. It's ginosautoservice.com. Gino's with a J.
Now's the time to take advantage of Gino's Napa Break Special. This month, get a $50 Napa prepaid Visa card with a qualifying Napa Brakes parts purchase of $250 or more. For over 38 years, Gino's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. At Gino's, their team recommends checking your brakes every 5,000 miles. Stop in this week and they'll check your brakes for free. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, the Gino's team will back up their work with Napa's nationwide peace of mind warranty. To make your life simpler, Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop off your car and pick it up when ready. Gino's continues their public service work, partnering with Hands of the Carpenter and donating work on vehicles for single mothers or women in need. Check out all their Google reviews for a good snapshot of their business. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon. Stop in or visit them online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Ginos with a J.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And it is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dave Hart sent this in, by the way, from RoofMax, and he said, just a great example of what not to keep doing. I was at Lowe's today and was looking quickly at a couple of patio chairs, and there was still a sign on it, "For your safety and others, do not sit on the furniture or riding mowers."
No.
I did not purchase from them and wouldn't buy them if I can't sit on it first. And you know what? Great example, Dave.
The more you talk about safety, the more you're reminding people what they just went through.
That's it.
Stop it.
Again, that's a negative. I said get rid of those things.
Yep.
All right, we'll be right back, guys. Another hour coming your way. Hour three is next. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.